standing on the field at Angel Stadium. It's the Freeway Series. Angels and Dodgers looking out for a two-game set. It's Monday. We're here. We just roamed around and interviewed a lot of the people involved, broadcasters, players, and just trying to get the perspective of, does the rivalry really exist? Does interleague matter to fans? And, you know, at any time the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast can get out of the studio, we take advantage of that. Now, interleague play started in 1997 for games that matter. Before that, the Freeway Series was just something that played at the end of spring training where you would see guys that were going to the minor leagues, maybe some of the big leaguers. And then 1997, interleague was introduced to Major League Baseball, and the teams have played together ever since. Now, in LA, of course, you're going to call it the Freeway Series. In New York, they call it the Subway Series. The first time they played a game that mattered, June 17th, 1997, that was at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers won 4-3. Coming into this week, they had met a total of 120 times. Let me give you some background on this. There have been different sets of brothers who have currently played for either one or both of those franchises. Who? Vladimir and Wilton Guerrero. How about Orlando and Hobert Cabrera? Meiser and Cesar Isturiz. Eric, Willie Ibar. Jared and Jeff Weaver. And a total, 106 players have played for both teams. That's right, 106 players have played for both teams. And how about this one? Mike Socia, the only person to have won a World Series as a player and manager with the teams, as a player with the Dodgers, as a manager with the Angels. It's time for the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast. I'm your host, Beth Duran. It's Wednesday, June 12th. Sitting in the Angels dugout, getting ready for Angels-Dodgers, the first game of the interleague. Mark Gubiza, 1985 World Series champion, the pride of Philly, a rock and roll machine. As Petro's money would say, he has the IROC rims ready to go and the Camaros ready to go. But Gooby, when you think about interleague play after all these years, do you like it?
I ask that question all the time. And as a fan of baseball, it's kind of cool because say you're an Angel fan and you get to see the Dodgers come down here. So I think in that sense, it's pretty good. But also, it's unfair to, when you look at the Angels or the Dodgers, when you play each other 4 to 6 times every year as compared to other so-called rivals, it doesn't seem fair because, you know, the Dodgers and the Angels over the years have been both pretty good teams and they're battling each other. They could cost one or two of the teams their division title because of that. But, I mean, they'd be able to see Bellinger come down here and play and guys like that and Corey Seager and Justin Turner and all the guys and Max Muncy, we saw him over the years with Oakland. But just see those guys come in here and play and say, wow, yeah, they are a pretty good team. It's fun to watch.
When you get ready as a broadcaster, like, you have Seattle for you, you have Oakland, you have the teams that you're going to used to in the AL, but is it a little bit different when you're like, wait a minute, it's a Dodger game or it's another NL team that you don't see that often? Do you get a little extra for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be a rival between the Dodgers and the Angels. But, you know, watching the Dodgers over the last couple of seasons, the postseason, all the way to that run to the World Series back-to-back, just knowing their players they got and seeing what the kind of development they have this year, I thought maybe, you know, when you lose back-to-back World Series, maybe they take a step back. But I think right now they're better than they were last year. And I didn't think that was going to be possible because I was always a huge Yasiel Puig fan. I just loved his energy. But this team is playing incredibly well. Their starting staff has been lights out. And that's what, I mean, as much as we talk about bullpens and everything else, starting pitching is what wins. And the teams that have won it, the Astros, the Red Sox over the last couple of years, and the Dodgers being there, starting pitching.
When you walk into a stadium like we are right now, like the grounds crew's getting it ready, it's 3:30 or something. It's always cool when you're in a stadium and it's empty. I love that, no matter where I'm at. It's just for the Angels' perspective, you look around as the game starts, it's like, a lot of blue in here.
Yeah.
Not that it sucks because you love seeing a full stadium, but at the same time, it's like, man, get out of here.
The weird thing about it is then all of a sudden at Dodger Stadium, you'll see a lot of red, and you wouldn't think that would be the case. But I think it comes down to, everyone asks whether you're an Angel person or a Dodger person. I said it's great for baseball when two teams in this area, now you got San Diego playing well themselves. So when you have three teams in a close region all doing very, very well, it's great for the game. There's so many fantastic baseball players. I mean, coaching high school baseball, every day is almost like a minor league game when you see high school baseball out here in SoCal, whether it's up there in the Valley or down here in Orange County. There's some great players, so I think the fans love it, regardless if you're wearing blue or red in each stadium.
And you have a different perspective, too, because you live in the Valley, the 818.
Yes, indeed.
You know all about the baseball players in the Valley, Chaminade, Calabasas, all that area out there. And then you make the drive down to Anaheim, which, by the way, people, he leaves super early. He's not in traffic. Yeah. But you see it. Like, you feel it. Like, you live in where the Dodgers are at, but you come to Anaheim, you put on the red. I'm with you. I like the rivalry. Yeah. Even though you can't say it's my rival because you don't play him all the time, but it's still fun to have that back and forth.
Right? In my dream world, and it might end up being a reality before too long, I think there's baseball is going to get it right. And I think there's going to be a situation where you're going to have the Dodgers and the Angels in the same division. I think it's going to radical realignment. I'm putting it out
there.
I think it happens because I know there's a strong possibility of two teams being at it. And one probably could be Portland. So you have Seattle, Portland. You know, you got the A's and the Giants. You have the Angels and Dodgers, Padres and probably Arizona in the division. Well, it creates great rivalries, regular season rivalries. Plus, it's great for travel because it's much easier because, especially in the American League and the AL West, it is a killer schedule travel-wise. Oh. So I think it would be great for the game. Then you just build out 4-8 division teams. I mean, and then you can still have American League, National League. You would obviously have to adapt the DH throughout, and I'm sure it'll be Dodger fans saying, no, they don't want to see that. But you have 4-8 division teams going at it and rivals. I think it'd be great for the game.
Commissioner Gubuza, I like that. I like that. Now, before I let you go, Gooby, we can't talk to you without talking about music.
Yes.
When you drive down, what are you rocking?
I'm still going by hair bands. I'm rocking my hair bands. I'm going a little Bon Jovi. I'm going a little White Snake. I'm bringing all that out every single time on the way down here. It's the only thing that helps me survive all that construction on the 5.
As you should. Mark Gubuza, go follow him on Twitter. Does a great job. Does a great job on the Angels broadcast with Victor Rojas. And once again, rocking the hair band. Keep it going, Gubuza.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. Always great to be on with you.
So we're here with Ty Buttrey. If you were able to see him right now, you'd see that he's like 6'6". What are you, 6'7"?
Right at 6'6", yeah. without shoes, 6'5", and like 3/4".
Okay, so he's a very tall man. Just wanted to paint a bit of a picture for you. So Ty is, he's kind of been a high leverage reliever for the Angels here this year. And it's his rookie season, and he's blossomed. Could you tell us a little bit about what's been working for you this year?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, thanks for having me. And it's been a pretty exciting start to my rookie season, I'd say. You know, I'm just trying to soak in a lot of things from the older guys and, you know, being in this position, being a rookie and coming into high leverage situations, obviously, you know, that's new to me because even in the minor leagues, you know, when I was with Boston, I was coming in later innings, but, you know, you don't really get that true high leverage situation in the minor league. So I think last year was a good test for me and Socha, you know, throwing me in some big situations and, you know, felt like I was able to come out of those successful and kind of take that experience into this year.
You mentioned the being able to pick the veterans' brains. Got Cody Allen around you. Obviously, he was one of the best in the game for a long time. What have you learned from him and being around him?
Yeah, I mean, I bounce questions off him all the time. I feel like sometimes I get a little bit annoying, you know, asking him and all the experiences that he's gone through. Obviously, he's been in high leverage situations since the start of his career. So being able to bounce things off him and kind of hear him go about his viewpoints on stuff, it kind of clicks with me. A lot of things he says because I can relate it into situations that I've been in. But, you know, I'm obviously the young guy in the team in terms of service time. And me and Justin Anderson, you know, he's got a year ahead of me, but we're both kind of learning and we're both kind of doing things and just kind of keeping our heads down and trying to go about our business the right way.
How would you describe this bullpen group? I mean, they're the backbone of the pitching staff in a way right now. So what would you say is key to what you guys have been able to do and also just the atmosphere in there when you guys are sitting around?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, obviously, I think everyone would like to be playing a little bit better baseball right now. That's not anything new. But, you know, we have the makings of everything that we need. And it's just a little bit inconsistent at times of putting things together. And, you know, our bullpen, you know, it's all there. And guys pick each other up very well. You know, everyone has each other's back. And I feel really close with those guys down there. And I feel like we have a pretty tight-knit group. It makes things easier, you know, when we're going through hard times or when, you know, I give up 2 runs or Cody gives up 2 runs or Noe gives up a run or so. Like, it's nice to have that connection with guys because it's a long season and you can't have any anger or resentment towards those guys because it's going to be a long year. You know, you got to learn to, you know, adapt and overcome obstacles.
How is it like navigating a team and a clubhouse and everything go around it when you're a rookie? Like, are there things that you can't do that you kind of that they have to like put you back in line or say? Or
yeah, when I was at Boston, you know, one thing that kind of stuck with me the most was Jackie Bradley and Chris Sale. We had a rookie development camp, and Chris Sale was just saying, you know, don't be the funny guy, don't be the guy that's kind of looking for jokes and stuff. And he doesn't mean it like be yourself, obviously, you know, be yourself, be who you are, be confident, you know, stand tall out there. That's what they want to see, you know. And the more that I realize how hard this game is, the more respect I have for these guys that play this game for 10, 20, you know, 15 years. It's a very hard mental and physical grind. And it's, you know, there's a lot of respect for these guys that can do that. And, you know, I want the career that they have. And, you know, I want to be as best as I can be. But any single job you pick, your first day on the job, you're not going to be walking around like you own the place. I mean, yeah, you may have that confidence, but there's a respect factor too. And I think as long as you can kind of be yourself, but also have respect for the guys that have been through the hardships and been through the long years, you know, I think that's what everyone appreciates. And that's kind of how I go about my business.
You and I have talked before about just how your slider has developed. Could you kind of just take us through that working in AAA here once you were traded over from the Red Sox? That's kind of been your bread and butter pitch in a way.
Yeah, my slider is it's a really crazy story. I mean, honestly, it started off as a 12-6 curveball in high school, kind of morphed into more of like a slurve in professional ball at the minor leagues, and then lost it there for about a year or two, going back and forth with some different grips. And last year in Pawtucket, I basically was coming into the season with a fastball and a changeup. And two-pitch mix out of the bullpen is important, but at the same time, having that third pitch for me was pretty important, and having that depth and that sweep that I can get on my slider sometimes, it just helps. Because I came in the last year and I just wanted a slider that I could throw for a strike. I wasn't looking for swing and misses. I wasn't looking for back footing guys. I just wanted another pitch that I could throw in the zone for a strike, because that's just another thing in a hitter's mind that they have to worry about and they have to look out for. And it kind of gives you a little bit more deceptiveness with your fastball. They got to be on guard a little bit more. And, you know, my slider this year, working with Doug and doing some drills of getting my my hand in the right position and being aggressive with it. And honestly, it just, a lot of it comes with confidence. I mean, this game, people think that you can have success over 2 weeks of doing a couple things. I mean, it is unbelievable the amount of work that you have to put in to see results sometimes. And for me, you know, it took me a while. I mean, there's ups and downs, but, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. And I'm not satisfied by any means. So I'm going to continue getting all three of those pitches as best as I can.
Did you have to continue to refine it during the off season?
Not so much. In the off season, it's more about getting it back to how it was mid season. I think next year, I think my slider is going to be even better. And I think the following year and the following year after that, I think it's going to continue to get better every single year. It's what it's done up until this point. All my pitches, I feel like, have continued to get better with time and more experience and learning how this game goes and pitching at the big league level. So, you know, I'm pretty confident with it, and I'm going to continue throwing it the way I've been throwing it and trying to get better with it every single day.
Ty, we're going to let you go here in a second, but before we do that, we talked a couple weeks ago about your Players Weekend jersey name. Have you gotten any feedback on that? So Ty's name is Ty Buttry. Mm-hmm. people like to call him Butt. He's also autocorrect automatically changes it to Butter.
Yep.
So he's thinking about doing an emoji on his jersey.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say too much on that part. I want it to be a surprise. I think, you know, I got two funny emojis that if MLB allows me to put on my jersey, it's nothing bad. I mean, it's just funny. I don't know really where that stands out. But yeah, you know, Buttry can be misinterpreted a lot. You know, people don't want to offend me by saying butt, so they say buttery. And in reality, there's no E-R-Y, but they just, you know, it's them being nice. I've heard everything in the book. A lot of the Latin guys call me Montequillo, which is butters, obviously, in Spanish, or butter in Spanish. So
nice.
You know, that's been kind of my nickname. Everybody in high school used to call me T-Butt. that hasn't really stuck. Nobody calls me that in pro ball. It's all butt or butters.
Are you grateful for that?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it was more of like a, you know, teenage nickname. Like, it was cool for a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird name, but it's, you know, it's who I am. It's growing on me, and you know, I love the nickname. So I appreciate everyone coming up with all kinds of things. So it's cool.
And the Angels have really embraced it, like with your entrance video. So the Angels have an entrance video for Robles and Hansel Robles, and for Ty Buttry. And for Buttry, it's just the video starts with a skillet that's just kind of hot, and then butter is dropped on it, and then he emerges from the butter.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much sums up my intro video. But it's funny. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, whatever, honestly, whatever gets the fans going, whatever gets me going, I don't really care, as long as it can be whatever they want to put out there. But, you know, maybe like a little, maybe some more flames or something, like maybe a little bit more intense. Maybe you got like something else besides butter melting on a pan. I don't know if that's really intimidating, but I don't know. Maybe the hitter's like, maybe it loses, you know, loses focus. He's a stick of butter up there, and I don't know.
It's a diversion tactic.
Yeah, somebody came up with it. I didn't, but you know, whatever works, I guess.
All right, thanks, Ty, so much for joining us.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it.
Maria Torres. Okay, that's an interesting pitcher you just talked to. He's a rookie, but he's got a lot of character. Seems
sure.
like.
Yeah, he sure does. I mean, he's like 26 or 27, so he's got a little bit.
Is that Simba?
Yeah.
It's Andrelton Simmons?
Andrelton Simmons, yeah.
We're right next to the Angels dugout as players are walking in and out.
Yeah.
And you and I are talking. You just spoke with Ty.
Yes.
And interesting guy. I was eavesdropping a little bit. and tells good stories. But it seems like when you're around an Angels team that has a Mike Trout, has Albert Pujols, mm-hmm. yeah, they're there, but you don't have access to them on a daily basis.
Right.
And their stories have been told. And these young rookies, they don't know that they're not supposed to talk as much, right? Do you realize that? Sometimes they talk too much and they tell you good stories. They're good characters. I like them.
I don't know if they think that they're not supposed to talk at all.
No, because you know, you'll learn this. It's your first year on the Angel B, right? Uh-huh. So in the beginning, everybody's like, yeah, we'll talk, we'll talk. And then a couple, 2-3 years later, it's like, yeah, just a pleasure being here.
Oh, I see what
here.
You're saying, yeah.
Yeah, you know, one day at a time, here for the team. It's right. Like in Bull Durham when all the cliches start coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point. No, there's guys like Ty around who's got a lot of character. And character, I mean that more in not in a makeup kind of way, but like he's actually fun to talk to.
We like personalities at the LA Times. That's what we're talking to you. You have a good personality. You're from the South, good Georgia Bulldog over here. Now, you have your reporter's notebook in your left arm.
I know, and my phone over here too.
Yeah, like, your phone.
Making sure
it's
I don't
Angels
miss anything.
Dodgers interleague game on a Monday. You're checking your phone because you're tweeting up a storm. And we're taking you away from that because mm-hmm. your job is no longer just, hey, show up and write a story. It's, I have to interview people. I have to tweet about things. And your tweet today was, Brad Ausmus, Angels manager, sees Clayton Kershaw walking by. And what does he say?
Hey, Kersh.
In the middle of you talking to you guys?
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah,
Ausmus played for the Dodgers. So they have a relationship.
At the end of his career.
So when you see interleague, and you're somebody who grew up not in L.A.,
yeah.
what do you think about it?
I don't know if I really have a lot of like thoughts. I mean, I grew up in Atlanta, so there wasn't like a team across the state that came to play the Braves or anything like that. I mean, I think they tried like the Boston-Atlanta rivalry a couple of times, and I don't think it really worked. So it's definitely different to see like two teams from within the same coverage area can, you know, come together here. And
but do you feel like a different energy because the Dodgers are in Anaheim?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more people around.
Like us?
Media, yeah, there's a lot more media people around. So there's a buzz, and I'm sure, I don't know, what's like the civic pride around like Dodgers versus Angels fans? What's that like?
The majority would be Dodger fans. But
what is like the...
See, the thing is, I know your boss is probably like, hey, Angels, Dodgers, let's do a preview. And you're like, okay, great. One team's really good. Angels are scuffling the game going through it right now. But when you write stories, do you see, hey, you know what? Maybe these guys actually care a little bit more? Or for the players, it's just like another day?
I think right now it's just another day. I think there's just too many issues for the Angels to kind of work through, for them to worry about who they're actually playing. They just need to kind of figure out how to play.
And that's the thing. People are like, oh, they care about that. Like, no, I try to tell the fans, you guys care more and you know more of what's going on than the players. It's not that they don't care and they don't take pride. It's just... It's a Monday in June. Let's get healthy. Let's play. If this was a playoff game, different world.
Oh, totally different atmosphere. And I'm sure there'd be more, you would see more of the personality shining through. But it's like you said, I mean, they've just got, it's June and they're not at 500 yet. The Angels, that is. Yeah. And they kind of need to find a way to get to that point.
All right, forget the rivalry. Forget the interleague. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
It's your first year traveling, right?
No, it's my second year traveling. First year on this beat, though.
Okay, yeah, but it's your first year traveling with the Angels. When you were in Kansas City, so you're in the middle of the country.
Right.
Now you're flying coast to
coast. Oh, my God, I know. It's such
a mess. See, look
at
you, right?
It's kind of a mess.
It's different, huh?
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to, after the series, the Angels go to St. Petersburg to face the Rays in Tampa. So that'll be a cross-country flight. And then
not that you're complaining, but
no,
damn.
But it's gonna be a haul, and then I've got to go from there to Toronto because that's where the Angels are playing next.
You got a passport?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good.
And then of course, I got a passport. That was my like face to you, right?
No,
now.
That's here's the thing. Sometimes players, you'll hear these stories. They forget that they need a passport and they get left behind.
Yeah, I hope the traveling secretary takes care of that early. I'm actually kind of worried I'm going to forget it. So I keep meaning to put like a reminder in my phone.
There was a Laker person. Let's just say person. Okay. Somebody in the traveling party who showed up at LAX on the charter, got there. Whoops, no passport. See you guys in Toronto. Had to book his own flight to get there because the charter's not going to wait for you to go home and come back and get
not
it.
In LA.
No, it's the little things people don't understand. Well, I'm glad you're surviving the travel.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job covering the Angels.
Thanks.
You needed a couple of days off, so we're going to tell our bosses Maria needs days off.
I'll take them at the end of the month. I've got them scheduled now.
There you go. Maria, appreciate it as always. Have a good rest of the season.
Thanks, Beta.
Just outside of the Angels dugout, we're right next to a punching bag and the catcher's gear, and a man who is no punching bag, a man who's covered the Angels for, I think, most of your career, seems like.
Quite a bit. 19 years solid.
19 years. Mike DiGiovanna, who knows a lot about the Angels and baseball. Dij, what's your role right now with the Times? Because I know you're bouncing around with a lot.
So. Yeah, I've been covering the Dodgers and Angels, backing up both our beat writers, and I do a little NFL football there in the off season, so they're keeping me pretty busy.
And with the Angels, how many years did you travel as a beat writer?
That was 19 years. I did two of the Dodgers. Yeah, 19 solid years.
Wow. Well, the reason we're down here is because interleague play with Angels and Dodgers, so you were there? Right when interleague started, right?
That is correct. It was 97 or 98. 97. Yeah, I remember when Mike Socha came to the Angels. It was always a huge story. Every year, the same old question. I swear, right until Tommy retired, you know, after 19 years, it was still a novelty for some that he was facing the Dodgers.
Well, Socha is the only one to ever win a World Series with the Angels and Dodgers as a player and a manager.
That is correct.
Do you like interleague play?
I have no problem with it. Yeah, I like it. I cover both leagues, so I'm sort of used to the strategy in both leagues. But I think it's great for the fans for the most part. There's some great natural rivalries, obviously one here, the New York teams, the Chicago teams. It gets a little awkward when the Mariners' natural rivalry is the Padres. But, you know, I think for the most part, I think fans really enjoy seeing the other league's players, especially the stars, come to their stadiums.
I like it before the fans. And I forget the reporter, the TV, or anything else. For the fans, because it's a Monday night and it's going to be a packed house in Anaheim. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Dodger fans.
Yeah.
But when you go to Dodger Stadium, there's a lot of Angel fans. I like seeing the mismatch.
This fans. Has always been a great rivalry, even when the Angels were much better than the Dodgers in the early 2000s and now vice versa. And I think if you're the Angels right now and you're looking at a packed house for a Monday and Tuesday night, if you've been around the stadium this year, we have not seen many. Even half full houses on a weeknight.
You'll take the concession stands on
the gate. The gate will be very appreciated.
Yeah. Do the players actually care?
I think at this point, no. I mean, it's not that they don't care. I just think it's not a novel thing for them. They've grown up with it. I don't think there's any player that hasn't in the league right now. Even Albert Pujols and Rich Hill, as long as they've been around, have played interleague every year. So that novelty is worn off. You know, I think it's here to stay, and what happens with the DH in terms of the interleague play in the future will be interesting, but I think it's a good deal right now.
For you, Deej, like, we talk Dylan all the time, or Dylan Hernandez, and he's, you know, salty and bitter, so we make fun of him for that, because I think it wasn't just the child, it's just who he is. But you still seem like you enjoy coming to the ballpark after all those years on the road, though.
Who told you that?
Okay, we're trying to paint a positive picture today.
I'm salty. I may not be as bitter as Dylan, that would be a hard act to follow. For me, it's the sport I've known the best, the sport I've written about the most. And for me, it's a little easier now not being the beat writer, not going through the grind of the every day and the 10-game road trips. Even though I'm traveling quite a bit this year, it's still sort of one city here and there, filling in on the Angels, filling in on the Dodgers. Was just in San Francisco for that series. So it's just enough travel to sort of keep me involved, and it's plenty of work, but I don't have that everyday grind and the gone 140 days out of the year.
But you get the Mario points, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm not one of those guys who hoards them, though. I had kids, you know, my kids are all grown up now, but we went on some great vacations and still have. But
anybody who travels knows about Marriott points. If you're a baseball beat writer, Marriott is your
best
friend. Because next
perks.
You know, you're all over the world.
For sure.
Mike D. Giovanna, appreciate you as always. Standing in front of the Dodger dugout in Anaheim with the one and only David Vasse, the host of Dodgers postgame on AM 570, travels with the team. When was the last time you missed a Dodger game?
Well, I had a string of 6 straight years of not missing one. Last year, I finally missed my first road trip. My question to you, though, Beto, is why am I on this podcast and not the lovable Dylan Hernandez?
Because you're the guy. You're with the team. You have the pulse of the Dodgers. Now, Vasse, when Interleague first started, 1997, did you like it?
Well, at first, I did not. And then I saw Chan Ho Park try to drop kick Tim Belcher in the first Dodger-Angel rivalry game
at
Dodger Stadium.
And the Angels had those periwinkle uniforms,
yes,
right?
Yes, that was awful. So at first I was skeptical, and then Chan Ho Park tried to do some crazy kicking on Tim Belcher, who was a great Dodger world champion in 1988. So once that got going, then it got my blood boiling as a Dodger fan for sure.
And now, do you like it?
Yeah, well, actually, I got to be honest with you, Beto. It's kind of watered down now. We've seen Dodgers Angels before, and when one team's not as good, it's not the same feeling. And we have the freeway series, the exhibition game, so I get enough flavor during the exhibition years.
See, right now fans are getting led into Angel Stadium a little bit after 5 o'clock, and you see a lot of Dodger blue.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of Dodger fans here, and Dodger fans actually travel the best of any fan base in baseball. Wherever in San Francisco, Pantone 294, that fan club, took over the outfield there. So they do a great job of traveling. And, hey, there's a lot of Dodger fans in the OC, no doubt.
The reason we're doing this is not like, oh, let's break down Angels and Dodgers. That's what you do on your show. But for the fans, where people say interleague is different or whatever, but I like it for the fans because you get to see something different. Like you mentioned the Freeway Series earlier on, but you're watching guys that are going to be in AAA or AA.
But do you want to see Dodgers-Orioles in September?
No.
That's going to happen.
Why?
Dodgers-Orioles in Baltimore in September. Usually September is the pennant race, the stretch run where you're playing in your division. Yeah. But that's the good and bad of interleague. We love that the Yankees are coming to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
We love the Dodgers are going to Fenway Park. But then you have to deal with the other part of it, too.
You do a good job covering the team for AM570 and the Dodgers Radio Network. And then you see and you travel around and you do all kinds of stuff. You've been doing it, what, 6 years now? And it's still fun for you?
This is my eighth year, Beto, and I did not miss a game for the first 6 years. But John Suhu is a road warrior. John Suhu actually posted a great photo today from Tommy Lasorda's first day as the GM of the Dodgers. And Paul Konerko was in the room at that time. And when he was done, he was no longer a Dodger.
So how'd you get this gig?
I was working at the radio station, and I was reporting on all the teams, as you know, around L.A., and when the Dodgers came, I was the only guy that was interested in baseball.
Shut up.
So default.
Are you serious?
Well, no, they believed that. I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah,
but that's how it happened. And the Dodgers came to 570 in 2012, and I was the baseball guy.
You were, and you were producing Petros Money at that time, and you were the baseball guy. We would be in the clubhouses, press boxes a lot together. So your job is you travel with the team. So are you on the charter?
Yeah, I travel with the team. I'm on the team charter, and that's the fine line you have to walk of calling things the way they are, yet knowing where you are, and you're part of that inner circle and in that bubble.
And hosting Dodger Talk most nights, except for getaway days.
Yeah.
What are the fans like?
We have more calls on losses than we do on wins. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
When the Dodgers win, it's not a flood of phone calls celebrating a win. But when they lose a game in the middle of June, everybody goes wild.
Dave Vassey, go follow him on social media, The Real.
At The Real underscore DV.
The one and only. He's real, David Vassey. Now, we're just outside of the Dodger dugout in Anaheim. First day of interleague. Jorge Castillo and Andy McCullough join us right now. Jorge, you travel with the team. You're the beat writer. You're around them. Does interleague mean anything to you when it comes to Angels and Dodgers?
No, it doesn't. These teams play each other all the time. Spring training during the year. It doesn't mean
anything. You grew up where?
Massachusetts.
So you had Yankees, Red Sox. That's a rivalry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Angels, Dodgers, that's not.
No.
I'm telling you, I grew up here. It's not.
Right, right.
But it's still cool. Right? To see this?
I mean, it was a long drive down here. I don't know how much of a rivalry is there is. The Dodgers, I mean, just being part of the, you know, covering this team right now, Dodgers-Giants seems to be like a way more intense rivalry. Seems like the Arizona-Los Angeles has more history. You know, doesn't seem like it's much of a rivalry.
See, Andy, you covered the Royals. So when you were in the interleague, who was there?
They actually had a real one in St. Louis because they're just kind of two
Midwestern teams.
Yeah, that's
my West Coast bias right there.
No,
I took attention over the flyover.
It's states. Missouri. It's a state. It's
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's
so just a Philly guy.
Exactly. No, I mean, and they actually have a rivalry just because there's like nothing else to do in Missouri besides hate the other people on the
Andy
other side of the state.
Strong.
So
okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, Dodgers, Angels, no, it's not. I don't think it's real.
You cover the baseball beat as a national perspective.
Yeah, that's,
Does anybody care?
About interleague?
Yeah.
I mean, I think some fans still do, but like the modern fan doesn't because it's been around for 20 years. But I think the average newspaper reader, who's like 55 and up, probably does care because they remember baseball before the DH. But like the younger fans don't.
Yeah, the quote unquote purists, I guess. The people that consider themselves purists, people who...
Like me, yeah.
Yeah, people who hate the DH and, you know, hate interleague and, you know, just want it back to 12 teams in 1912.
Right.
Because I was thinking about this, like, how are we going to go and talk about Angels Dodgers in a different way? And it was more like, they started in 1997, so these guys playing, they weren't around, they don't know anything about this. And when you cover the NBA or the NFL, it just... We're playing these people. You don't know. It's only baseball that comes up with these archaic things that they don't ever want to involve.
Super antiquated, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, on the East Coast... It was like Red Sox would play like the Mets occasionally or whatever, like the Atlanta Braves. Like, but it would be no sort of rivalry. I think the biggest one in the country is probably Mets-Yankees.
Mets-Yankees is probably, but I think when the Royals were good, Royals-Cardinals was pretty hot. I think A's-Giants is decent, but Angels fans and Dodgers fans don't interact all that much. I mean, it's two separate cities. They're like an hour away or like 4 hours, depending on when you leave. But like Mets-Yankees, you know, you see each other every day inside the city. So it's just a more natural rivalry because they're actually in the same city.
I covered the Angels for a lot of years, and whenever I'd work at Dodger game. This is when Twitter first started. What are you doing? You're an Angel. I'm like, first of all, no. I work for ESPN Radio. I get paid by them, and I go where they send me. So, that's what, but you're right. It's not we're bashing coming down here. It's a beautiful facility, bigger clubhouse. We like that. We like the access. It's still cool to see a full stadium, the Civic Pride, but it's not anything like where people are like, oh, let's get all fired up, right? It's not, nobody's going to get like all upset because of who wins this game or what, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Andy's been around longer than I have, so he can maybe speak to that more, but not.
Yeah, it just doesn't have a ton of juice. It's nice, but it's just it doesn't have a ton of natural juice.
All right, this is the last question for you guys. Should they just, like, make it interleague all the time? Just forget it? Like, no, make it all kind of special?
Well, they have interleague all the time now. Literally every day there's an interleague game now.
We could get into realignment if you want to and about adding two teams and splitting the league.
I think they should subtract.
And the podcast is done. Jorge Castillo and Andy McCullough. If you guys want real statistics, see me at baseball, go and check them out on social media. Doing a great job as always. Appreciate you guys always. A man who grew up around baseball, so he knows what traditional is like. He knows what interleague is like now. And he was involved, I think, early on with it, right? Victor Rojas, Angels play-by-play voice for Fox Sports West. Now, you grew up in the Royals clubhouse. Your dad, Cookie, was involved. Your dad was managing. So you knew what it was like to have two leagues, but now interleague introduced in 1997, 2019. Does anybody care?
No, I don't think anybody cares anymore. I think the novelty is worn off, especially since they went to the two 15-team leagues where you have to have interleague every single day because of the schedule. I think it's kind of worn out its welcome. Before you had the change in the leagues, I think you were fine because then you had that little pocket, what is it, May or June, where everybody was playing an interleague schedule.
That was
then
cool.
That was somewhat novel, but now I think it's just kind of worn out.
Yeah, you're in September, you're playing a team that from the AL Central, if you're the Dodgers or whatever it is, and you're like, just another team.
Exactly.
All right, now, Angels, Dodgers, do people care?
I think people in Southern California care. Unfortunately for the Angels, it's been a tough season, but the Dodgers, on their side of things, everything's going great for them right now, so for the first 3 months. So I think anytime these two teams match up, whether it's in the freeway series or in spring training or in the regular season, I think fans care. And it's a lot of fun to see the whole rivalry kind of play out, especially in the stands.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, because in the stands, you have the best seat. You're right above home plate. Yep. You look out, and you're going to see a lot of red. You see a lot of blue.
No doubt.
And fans don't get it that players don't really care.
No.
It's like, let me go play my game in the middle of June. Let's go after it. So it's more for the fans. I think the fans really get into it.
I agree, 100%. I think the days of the Dodgers-Giants rivalry, when it was at its highest peak, I think those days are long gone. You said it right. Players just don't care. I mean, they care. They play the game. They want to win. They've got friends on the other team. But the whole rah-rah thing with Tommy Lasorda and all that stuff, that just doesn't exist anymore. It's more of a fan base thing.
When you broadcast a game, I was talking with Gooby about this, your partner, Mark Kubuza. You see the A's a lot. You see the Mariners a lot. You know these guys like the back of your hand. But then a different team comes in like a wrinkle with the Dodgers. Like, you kind of get a little extra pep, like, hey, something new?
I think we do because we know the Dodgers. I mean, we play them in spring training, especially in Arizona. And then you do the three games for the freeway series. So you kind of get a feel for the same guys coming in. It's almost as if they are a division rival, even though they're not. So you kind of get excited for him. And especially when you get a team like this, I'm excited to see what Ryu is going to do tonight. I'm excited to see what Cody Bellinger's been doing. He's kind of slowed down a little bit in June, but his numbers are just astronomical. So I think it's fun. It's good to have a team like this come in, not from our perspective, but I think it kind of lifts players on the Angel side of things because they kind of pump up a little bit knowing that they got a really good team coming across.
As a broadcaster who gets to see him, like, what, 150 sometimes a year, Mike Trout, what's it like just seeing him day into night? Because I'm one of those. I was here when he was a rookie, and I've told everybody this guy's a stud. Great guy to talk to. And if he's on my TV, I'm stopping him. Like, hey, watch. I don't care if he just walks. And still, it's an event win for me.
I think that's the saving grace. When the team's going bad, you know you've got four at-bats of Trout, and he might do something special in the field. So I think the Angel fans are certainly fortunate. And now with Shohei Ohtani coming into the mix last year, doing both things, pitching and hitting, still rehabbing from that Tommy John surgery. But when you talk about Trout, I mean, it's probably one of the most electric players there is in the game. There's never a dull moment when he's at the plate, especially when he's going good.
And he's a good dude, too.
Huh? He is. I mean, he is down to earth. What you see is what you get. It's not a facade. It's not for show. He is just a kid, and that's how he treats the game. He treats the game as if he were still 16 years old.
Former bullpen catcher for the Marlins, minor league player, now broadcaster, and former GM in the Independent Atlantic League. Victor Rojas, appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure, brother.
Hall of Famer Jaime Jarrín. Jaime, first of all, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Great to see you.
Well, I'm honored because we get to talk to you. But we were talking to everybody about the Angel Dodgers.
Yes.
For many years, we only knew them because of the freeway series.
Oh, yes.
And now the games count since 1997. Is it still fun?
Fantastic. Oh, it is. For me, it is. You know, I am in my 61st year with the Dodgers and love what I do, really. It's fantastic.
And when you look out at the stadium here in Anaheim, you're going to see a lot of red for the Angels, but you see a lot of Dodger blue. And I know you get a big smile when you see Dodger fans on the road, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And I miss, you know, Mike Socha, I miss Alfredo Griffin. I miss so many of the old Dodgers that were here with the Angels.
And the fans, that the passion that they bring, Dodger fans, why do they travel so well? You see them in San Francisco, Chicago. ¿Por qué? ¿De dónde vienen?
Because they follow the Dodgers. That's the number one team, you know, especially in Latin America and Mexico. The Dodgers number one team, the Yankees number two team. But the fans here, it's unbelievable. I am sure that tonight we will have more Dodger followers than the Angel followers here at the ballpark.
Why are the Dodgers so loved in Latin America and in Mexico?
Mainly because of Fernando Valenzuela. I will say that 1981, Fernando did what nobody has done. He came in when it was on strike. The baseball was having lots of bad times. But Fernando Mania here was unbelievable. He created so many more baseball followers. And so he did miracles.
When you look at the Dodger fan base, they're really loyal. They love their team. But they're so passionate.
Yes, also, you know, when I joined the Dodgers in 1959, the Latinos coming to the Coliseum was about 8%. Wow. But now at Dodger Stadium, they tell me that's about 46%. When I take my break in the fourth and fifth innings, I go around the ballpark and I hear more Spanish than English. It's unbelievable. Also, it's a big change. Years ago, most of the Latinos used to come to the bleachers and to the upstairs, the red level. But now you find them everywhere. At the field level, club level, mezzanine, they are everywhere.
So it used to be just the top deck?
Yes, it used to be just the top deck and the bleachers. But now you find them everywhere, in every level and every price ticket.
This Dodger team this year, how much fun are they to watch?
It is, I will say, it is one of the top teams in the history of the franchise. I like it very much, the 62 and 63 teams, with Sandy Koufax, Dan Drysdale, Maury Willis, Wally Moon. Then later on, 1977 and 78 were great teams. So we went to the World Series. We should have won those World Series against the Yankees, 77, 78. Then 81 with Fernando, 88 with Hershiser. And now I think this team is as good as those teams. But last year was Boston, and Boston, they had a great team. Everything was getting there on their side. But I think this team is much stronger. I see the feeling in the clubhouse, and I see how united the team is.
Let's go to your resume. I know you don't like talking about this, but I want the fans to hear it. How many years with the Dodgers?
61.
How many World Series have you seen?
I have seen many, but I have worked 29 years.
Oh, that's right, because you did the national games.
Yeah, my contract with the Dodgers was that if the Dodgers didn't go to the postseason, I would move to, first it was CBS, then it was Cadena Latina. In the late years, it is ESPN. So I moved from the Dodgers to ESPN and to CBS if the Dodgers didn't go to the World Series.
So you called the 29 World Series?
29 World Series and 24 All-Star Games.
24 All-Star Games?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I just want to go to one World Series where the Dodgers win.
Great.
You've called those games. How many no-hitters?
I think it's 26 or 20 or 27. I am not sure, but I know. I have done three perfect games. Sandy Koufax from the Dodgers, Dan Browning with the Reds, and Dennis Martinez.
Hall of Famer Jaime Jarrín. Gracias. Wait, actually, I gotta ask you. I never asked you this one. When they gave away your shirt a couple years ago as a giveaway, your signature home run call, se va?
Se va, se va. Y despídala con un beso. Se fue de cuadrangular.
Jaime Jarrín, Hall of Famer. Gracias, señor.
Thank you very much. Gracias.
It's pretty cool to roam around a ballpark during batting practice. You see the crowds filling in. You see the sun beating on people's heads. And it was really hot on a Monday as you hear Julio Urias walking to the clubhouse. The Dodger fans are cheering for him. It's something different. I know you hear people say, it doesn't really matter. But as I look into the crowd in Anaheim, you see Dodger blue. You see Angel red. At the end of the day, though, you have somebody to root for. That's two teams from Southern California. The Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast, produced by Dave Wine, engineered by Mike Heflin. Fidel Martinez runs the social media for the LA Times sports section. I'm your host, Beth Duran. Thanks, as always, to listening to the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast.